Now more of the Wild About Pets radio show on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Susan Frank.
Welcome back to the show and our discussion with our guest, Kevin Clark, who is the CEO of Critter Control, the nation's leading wildlife control company. And today we're talking about what to do when wildlife moves in. And we have photographs of the animals that we're talking about and some of the photos from Critter Control's website. And you can find those photos by clicking the purple Look While You Listen button on the TalkZone.com website. And also our phone lines are open in case you have any question for Kevin Clark. Call 888-463-6748. We are live. It's August 14th. And that number, by the way, if you didn't catch me saying that, is also at the top of the page of photos. So, Kevin, we're looking at pictures number 3 and 4 and looking at some of these cages for trapping the animals, because I know a lot of people love animals and they love the wildlife. They don't want them living in their home or causing destruction or possibly, you know, causing some illness for their family. But they also don't want these animals injured. And often, you know, they're very concerned, well, are they going to be put to death? So can you tell us a little bit more about the kind of traps that we see here?
Well, the cage traps we're using are typically a have-a-heart trap or a tomahawk trap or a safeguard trap. There's several manufacturers we use, but they're, again, live traps that you put bait in behind the trip pan in them when the animal is caught. We try to either put them in places where they're not going to be exposed to the elements, either, for instance, you know, it's a hot summer day, we want to put that trap where it's in the shade, where the animal's not going to be, you know, subject to the sun all day. And we even have covers, boxes that the traps go in, so that the animal can be out of the elements, whether it's raining or if it's too much heat or snow or whatever. So the trap is just part of it, and then the various types of covers we use and the placement of them all will help dictate that the animal is, you know, treated in the most humane, you know, possible manner.
Okay, and in a case where, let's say, you know it's the time, you know, there have been the breeding season and the mothers will have had their babies, and of course for anyone who wants to know that kind of information is on your website. Again, that was CritterControl.com, and you have facts so people can know, well, boy, you know, how do I know if maybe there are babies? And it will tell you when they would tend to have them. But so let's say you've got a mother, you caught the adult, but you're not sure if there's babies or not. How do you get into people's attics? Or isn't that rather difficult to determine, are there youngsters in there?
Well, and again, as professionals, our guys know to pick the trap up and move it around a little bit and look and determine, you know, is this a male raccoon or is it a lactating female? If it's the female, well, then we know that there's young. A lot of times the young will chatter. They make a little bird chirping type of noise, a chattering sound that a lot of our technicians are very good at popping their head in the attic, and they can imitate the chatter. And there are artificial collars as well, but a lot of our guys are just good at making that chattering noise and listening and then having the young respond to them.
Ah.
So sort of home in on, you know, where they're at in that attic or crawl space or wherever. So, you know, and again, the mothers are protective and they put them in the most inaccessible places, down in the overhangs,
mm-hmm.
you know, places that are so difficult to get to. But and it's not a job for the weak. You know, you're not going to want to get on your belly and crawl through the insulation and put your arms down at sniveling, growling little creatures that you don't know how big they are, and
right.
So there's a whole bunch of, you know, surprises that come with that as well.
But from what I've read on your website, you make all attempts to reunite the babies with their parents. So if you have to relocate them, move them, you're taking the whole family group.
Well, and that's part of our education process and learning process has been that, you know, most states require you to check these traps daily and release the animal the same day, where we've actually gone to states and said, you know, we've got the mother here. We really would like to keep her for a day or two until we catch the rest of the young and put them back together. So there's states have been working with us as well and modifying, you know, some antiquated laws that were out there to address, you know, modern day wildlife management in the urban environment.
Oh, I really like hearing that. Let's look at squirrels, because you said that's another one of the most common animals seen in homes. And I've known friends and family members who they only knew they had something upstairs when they heard scampering that they couldn't explain. And then, of course, they found out there were squirrels. And on photo number 6, we actually see someone captured a great picture of the squirrels that, you know, were coming in and out of somebody's roof attic. And by the way, if you want to see the photos we're referring to, just click the purple Look While You Listen button. It'll take you to my website, wildaboutpets.net. And we're looking at the Look While You Listen page and looking at these squirrels, which are so cute, but boy, they sure can get in our houses, can't they?
And I think that's a prime example of that picture where there was probably a gutter there at one time and the wood got a little soft. And because squirrels are rodents and they have those gnawing mouth parts, there was a little bit of soft wood. And if they can get their teeth around it, they can make it bigger. And pretty soon they had a full-size door there. So the squirrels will get inside that attic. A lot of times the customers don't know what they have. They
mm-hmm.
hear the scampering, and the scampering could be anything, but we can narrow that down a lot of times by, for instance, some animals are nocturnal, some are diurnal. Usually you're going to hear your squirrels in the daytime. First thing in the morning, just before, you know, dark, that's when they're going to be most active. Whereas raccoons might be active a little bit after that or off and on during the night. And then the exception to that rule are the flying squirrels, which are nocturnal.
Yes.
You'll hear them at night when you originally might think, okay, maybe this is a raccoon. You don't find any hole big enough for one. Then you find a small hole and you say, oh, we got flying squirrels here. And, of course, we look for droppings, hairs, stains, other evidence, any sounds they hear. So a lot of times it's playing detective, going out and finding, trying to figure out exactly what they have, where they're getting in, you know, where we're going to set the trap, and then how we're going to do the repairs to keep it from happening again.
And so I know your company is just routine. You'd come out and assess, you know, someone's house or situation, as you said, try and determine what you've got, try and move the animals out. Is cleaning up any of this debris or any of the damage that's been done inside the house, any chewing, is that also part of the service of companies like yours?
Absolutely. Ours, again, is a full-service company. We actually think that the trapping or management of the animal is probably the smallest part of the job.
Mm.
Educating the customer, doing the repairs, the exclusion, making sure, again, our company motto is protecting people, property, and wildlife.
I like that.
So we want to, you know, we're looking out for their property. The home is usually a person's, you know, largest single investment. They want to protect their homes. And again, you mentioned we had offices in 130 cities. We probably cover 85% of the largest metropolitan markets in the United States. And anywhere in the country, customers can call 1-800-CRITTER, and that will direct you to the nearest office. And if we don't happen to have an office in that county or in that region, it will default to our main office, where we'll give them a free consultation, humane trap options, refer them to discountwildlifesupplies.com, give them options to either do it themselves or know what they need to do to hire somebody locally so they can address the problem.
Okay, and I suppose for people who are living in areas where you're just not located, either you could refer them or they could go on the website and look up what animal control companies, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let's see. So then we have the skunks that we've talked about before. And I guess I have to say I like skunks. I know they are a problem if they spray your dog, and that seems to happen a lot. And a lot of people really dislike the scent. But I think skunks have gotten a very bad rap over the years. And so you can see that's why I included this adorable little baby skunk picture and try to let people know that, you know, they're not these terrible creatures. The summer I was referring to where my friend was having the big issue, there was a whole neighborhood and they just, every single house had skunks living back like in little wood piles. And
it's amazing that it seems certain communities in certain years just get inundated with them.
Yes.
And there are just like hot spots, if you will, in different parts of the country and different neighborhoods and different cities where they will just have numerous skunks and, you know, for no apparent reason. But, again, sometimes it can infect not just a house, but a whole community.
Right, and that's what the case was. Now, besides one dog that got sprayed in the neighborhood, and, you know, my friends having the skunks under the front stoop, which, of course, he had to do something because it was right there on the last step in entering into the front door, and that, you know, that you could see could cause some problems. A lot of the people thought, oh, my gosh, we got to get our guns because there have been some hunters, and we just have to shoot all these skunks that are all over the neighborhood. Why is that a bad idea, Kevin?
Well, more often than not, a skunk will discharge when they're, you know, shot. You know, they are really fairly docile animals. They, you know, they're hunters. They catch a lot of mice and things like that. You know, so they do their part for the environment as well. Obviously, you just don't want them in close proximity to your own home.
Right.
We do tell people, you know, when we catch a skunk, and they can be live trapped yourself, you can do that, but that's certainly a situation where you want that trap already under a cover or in a box. And provided that nobody is, no kids have been throwing stones at the skunk and no dogs have been harassing it, usually, again, they're nocturnal. You get up in the morning, hey, I've got a skunk in the trap. If you don't have a let's say you're trapping for a raccoon, but you catch a skunk by accident.
Mm-hmm.
It happens, and you don't have the cover on the trap. That's okay, too. You can approach these animals, you know, softly, quietly, even talking softly to them, and take a towel or tarp or something and simply lay it over the trap. And by, again, just picking up the trap, they will dig. They will reach for the trap, and again, they're prolific diggers, so they will reach for that trap and pull in 40 pounds of dirt with them, to where you have to shake it out a little bit. But again, if you're gentle with them, you can typically pick them up, walk them. Best to put them, obviously, in the back of a pickup truck or somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I've had some of our managers get called out on emergencies and didn't have a truck, where they've actually put them right in the back seat and drove them somewhere and let them go, because typically, they won't discharge unless threatened.
Okay. Now, when I worked at the Nature Center that I was referring to before for 11 years, of course, we got numerous phone calls about the people who had the animals that were trapped in their homes. And they all had called their public works or their village hall or their local animal control agents. And most of the times, those particular departments in the village halls could do nothing and had to refer them to the professionals. Is there a simple answer for why this is the case, Kevin?
Well, I think municipal animal control officers, for instance, are typically trained to deal with the domestic animals that they, you know, whether they have licenses for them or not, dealing mainly with dogs and cats. And when you start getting into wild animals, it's a whole new ball game, a whole new level of expertise, of equipment needed. And you have to remember, your municipal animal control officer is typically only on that job Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, whereas our people are usually on call 24/7.
You know what? And I think for my next question, I'm starting to get the big picture. Because another, and the answer that I'm looking for, because another comment that's been made over and over from, you know, the people that would then call the professionals and come back with us with comments about it, or when I've known the people who've had to hire them say, but it's so expensive. Why is it so expensive to come out and take, you know, these skunks away? And I think you've been leading up to the answer, but can you just address, you know that a little bit more, why it is a high sometimes to remove these animals?
Well, again, cost is relative. When I compare it to the cost of controlling ants, for instance, the dollars per hour in the pest control industry, whether it's animals or insects, is basically the same. And I'd certainly rather pay that money to get rid of a skunk than I would get rid of an ant.
Sure.
But that's just what the industry norms are. But from a business sense, we have to look at it. You know, the most dangerous things our technicians do every day, number one, is driving. And these guys log a lot of miles, you know, three times as much as your normal driver. Some of these guys are logging 30, even 40,000 miles a year. So there's a liability exposed to being out there traveling and going to all these places. You've got the exposure to the animals, the diseases that they carry and the ectoparasites with them carry. We are on roofs. We are in attics. We're in crawl spaces. And, you know, when you're getting on top of roofs and you got to get up there in the middle of the winter time, it's a risky business. So we have to do all we can to minimize those risks. We have to have, you know, safety meetings and educate our technicians about it to be as safe as we can. But it's not easy work. It's definitely hard work. There is risk to it. So again, anytime those factors come into play, you're going to have something that, you know, costs more than might seem normal. So, but again, you can't get a plumber to come out. You can't get a roofer to come out.
Right.
And in fact, we do a lot of repairs. If you think about it, replacing a roof vent, for instance, yes, it might cost you, whether it's $150 or whatever the number is, you couldn't even get a roofer to come out and look at it for maybe less than $600. They just don't have time to come and do these small repairs. So in some respects, it's actually much cheaper than if you call the roofer, for instance, or a plumber to come in and take care of something that we're already there and we've got the roof vent guards or the chimney caps, you know, that we can do it right here on the spot and guarantee it, you know, for years to come.
Thank you for clarifying that. That's valuable information. When we come back after a break, we're going to talk about some of the more unusual animals your company's dealt with. Stay tuned.